trade and trading in commerce secretaries. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Billionaire investor Wilbur Ross is Donald Trump's nominee to head the Commerce Department, and he will be on Capitol Hill this morning for his confirmation hearing. The department he would run is vast. It covers everything from the census to fisheries, and notably has a role in international trade. To chat about what the Commerce Department does is Philip Levy, senior fellow on the global economy with the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Wilbur Ross has a lot of opinions on trade. He said, "We've been doing a lot of dumb trade, and that's the part that is going to get fixed." Talk about what the Commerce Department's role actually is when it comes to trade policy.
Traditionally, the Commerce Department has been a central player in trade policy. Most U.S. trade policy is made through interagency discussions because you've got a lot of different agencies that have interests represented. But Commerce has been right there at the center of it. A little harder to know just how it's going to play out in the Trump administration.
Ross has talked about the need for stronger U.S. exports in general, reducing the trade deficit, even though a lot of economists argue there's nothing wrong with having a trade deficit. What could he do to increase exports?
Not only is there nothing necessarily wrong with the trade deficit, but it tends to respond a lot to factors that are not under the direct control of a Commerce Secretary. So, for example, U.S. exports do really well when the rest of the world is booming. It also responds when countries lower barriers, but I think this economic health of the rest of the world probably plays a much bigger role, and that's hard to control directly.
Ross has taken a very hard line on China. How do you think our relationship with that country might change with Wilbur Ross as Commerce Department Secretary?
I think the relationship with China bears very close watching, that not only has Ross made aggressive statements, but so have others in the administration. China's entering into a very difficult political time themselves, and I think there's real potential for conflict there.
All right. Philip Levy is a senior fellow on the global economy with the Chicago Council on Global Affairs and a professor at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. Thanks, Philip.
Thanks for having me.
The U.S. dollar fell to its lowest level in weeks yesterday after President-elect Trump said he thought the dollar was too strong. It's only partially recovered since then. To talk about this some more, we have Susan Schmidt. She's Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Susan, the Trump-sparked volatility we've seen in the dollar, we have seen it in Treasury yields and markets too. Is this just something we need to get used to?
I think we should get used to it because I think this is the mantra for the next year at least. So before we talked about volatility and we were very concerned about volatility as it related to economic data and economic prospects and the outlook for the economy overall. But now I think we're going to be seeing a new kind of volatility because we are dealing with an unknown. There's a lack of clarity around several of the big issues that Trump is going after. And so that is causing some volatility in the market because people are trying to adjust around that. There's not always agreement right now between what Trump is promoting and the rest of the Republican Party is promoting, and the market is starting to see the cracks in that.
Janet Yellen is speaking today in San Francisco, and I think a lot of people are going to be wondering what she and the Fed are thinking about Donald Trump's comments, about market reactions to them. What are you watching for?
What's interesting is the CPI came out today, and that was one of the indicators that the Fed has been watching in recent months about how the economy is doing. So consumer price index, CPI, was up 0.2% month over month, 2.2% year over year if you X out food and energy. And that's a healthy number. The Fed has been looking at this data to see how things are going. That statistic came out today, and it does speak to some underlying strength in the economy.
All right. Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And coming Thursday to your local multiplex, a high-stakes experiment by movie theaters. Woody Harrelson will direct and star in Lost in London, a film that will be shot and streamed live around the country, Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
The movie industry
really is a weekend industry.
Jason E. Squire is a professor at USC's School of Cinematic Arts. Squire says theaters are always trying to figure out how to get bodies into seats during the rest of the week.
Live events fill the gap.
The largest movie theater circuits in the country, AMC, Cinemark, and Regal, own a company called Fathom Events, devoted to these live screenings. Fathom has had success broadcasting from the Metropolitan Opera, concerts, comedy events. But the Harrelson movie?
It's the first time that a one-camera, one-take film has ever been streamed live into a theater.
John Ruby is Fathom's CEO. He says nearly 4 million people came to live to theater events last year. That's fewer than 1% of total movie tickets sold, but it's a number that's growing as theaters try to figure out what'll get us off the couch, especially on a work night. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Security at Davos during the World Economic Forum includes the regular armed guards and Secret Service types, and these days, drone jammers. They look like machine guns, but they actually jam the signal of a drone, keeping it from sending video feeds back and blocking its controller, so it just ends up hovering in the air, immobilized, until either it runs out of batteries or is caught with a net or is shot down by an actual gun. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.